Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Luke this morning. Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. There's a couple of things in about four verses that jumped out at me as I was praying about today's service. Let's stand at just a couple of verses of Scripture. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God if you're able. If you're not, that's fine. Luke is the doctor. Dr. Luke. He's writing to us here, and he says in verse number 1 of chapter 1, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." Pay attention to that phrase, "those things which are most surely believed among us," a declaration of those things. "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know." Now here's the second phrase. We'll not get to it this morning. It's for tonight. "That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." This morning, if God would help me, I want to preach a little while on this subject, a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. You can be seated. Pray for us, please. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. God, I know that, Lord, people are not getting saved by the multitudes, but Lord, I am thankful that people are getting saved. People are still turning their heart and their minds towards the Lord. I pray this morning, Lord, for the unspoken request, our dear brother that's at the hospital. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help him today. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us in this message. Speak to our hearts today, Lord. I pray you'd speak to every heart without the loss of one, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to key in on this declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. And the message is built around the word declare. There's some things that we are to declare as God's people. I can remember some of the old timers from the country. They had a saying, Brother Jason. They'd say, "Well, I declare." Amen. Well, you know what? Every one of God's people ought to leave here today and say, "Well, I declare." Amen. And look at the things that God has given us to declare. Why? Because they're the things that are most surely believed among us. Most surely believed among us. There are several things I want to look at. The first thing is the declaration of His glory. The declaration of His glory. A lot of people don't understand our Lord's glory. It means brightness or splendor, great power and strength, majesty and honor. How many believes our God, beloved, represented by brightness and splendor? He's so bright that when we get to heaven, we're not going to need an electric grid. We're not going to need a light bulb. He's going to light the whole city up all by himself. Amen. The glory of our God. The Bible talked about in the Old Testament, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. God would move in there in such a way. You've heard old timers say every once in a while about a meeting, it got foggy in there. Amen. You know what we need? We need some more fog. Amen. We need some more God's glory just to come down among us. The declaration of His glory. The Bible said, "Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations." In Psalm 96:3, "Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people." In Psalm 19:1, God said, "Well, just in case you won't do it, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Amen. I come out of the shop last night and I looked up. It's about 10:15, between 10:15, 10:30. Man, the sky was clear. The stars were shining bright. God was knocking holes in the darkness everywhere, and I just rejoiced. Amen. God said, I'm going to let the sun declare my glory, the moon declare my glory, the stars declare my glory. But then he said, there's something better than that. I'm going to save a bunch of people. Amen. And I'm going to let the saints of God declare my glory throughout the whole earth. Amen. What a blessing that is. Surely you believe in the glory of God, those things which are surely believed among us. And then the second thing God spoke to my heart about was a declaration of his righteousness. You see, we got no reason to run up and down the road talking about our righteousness. What we need to do is run up and down the road talking about his righteousness. The Bible said our righteousnesses, that's plural. Everything you can put together about us is as filthy rags. But I want you to know there's a righteousness that's of God. Amen. And it's to be declared. The Bible said the heavens declare his righteousness. They don't only declare his glory, but they declare his righteousness. And all the people see his glory. Isaiah 45 and verse 19, he said, I've not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not to the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Can I tell you, beloved, we've got a book today that declares what's right and what's wrong. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, society's accepted this and accepted that. I want you to know if God ain't accepted it, amen, it's not right. Amen. God declares the things that are right. You can get mad at me if you want to this morning, but it was refreshing to have a president that said God's still making them male and female. Amen. I like that. Amen. I never have been to the nursery down at the hospital and tapped somebody on the shoulder that was looking in there in the nursery and said, what is it? I've never had anybody turn around and say, we don't know. They always say it's a boy or it's a girl. Amen. And I tell you, some guys are still buying them cigars. Amen. That's the way I started out, but I learned better. Amen. Thank God Almighty. Amen. We've got youngins that, and we can declare his righteousness. He declares things that are right. In Romans 3:25, the Bible said, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sin that are past through the forbearance of God. You say, Pastor, are you going to heaven? I sure am. But it ain't because of my righteousness. It's because of his righteousness. Amen. Oh, thank God. His righteousness was imputed to me. What's that mean, Pastor? That means, beloved, if you look at a ledger sheet, you've got, beloved, the things that you owe, and then you've got the income. Amen. I owed a sin debt. God said, let me just erase that. And then I, on my income side, he said, just let me put my righteousness right there. Amen. And I like what old Paul said over there in the book of Philemon. Said, if he oweth thee anything, if he oweth thee aught, put that on my account. Oh, to sin dead. But thank God I had a Savior that said, just put that on my account. That's why I went to Calvary. That's why I died. Amen. That his righteousness might be imputed unto my account. Amen. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Amen. You say, Pastor, are you justified? Yep. Why? Because I have believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Romans chapter 4, I'm going to read a couple passages of scripture right here hurriedly. In verse number 11, the Bible said here, talking of Abraham, it's, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Aren't you glad? Thank God that God tore down that middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile. We were considered to be dogs. And God said, I've gotten something for the dogs. I've got my righteousness. Amen. And beloved, he's imputed that to you and I that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 22, the Bible said, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. A lot of people think that God's got an Old Testament way and a New Testament way. It's been a faith way all along. The Bible said Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. There needs to be a declaration of those things which are surely believed among us. There's a declaration of his glory, the declaration of his righteousness, and then there's the declaration of his name. The Bible said in Psalm 22 and verse 22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Now that ain't the only place you ought to praise the Lord, but I tell you, it's a good place to praise the Lord. You know what I figured out about praise? It's catchy. Amen. There's a measles outbreak in the country right now, and they say measles are really, really contagious. You can walk in a room after it's been there 12 to 24 hours ago and catch the measles. I'll tell you what we need some of God's people to do is catch this praise. Amen. Catch this declaration of his name. It's not about my name. It's not about your name, but it's about his name. In John 17, Jesus praying, he said, I've declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Hebrews 2:12, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. You say, Pastor, how come there's not no more praise in the church than there is? I'll tell you why. Because there ain't no more praise in the closet than what there is. I mean, we ought to be praising him at home. We ought to be praising him on the job. We ought to be praising him. Amen. A lot of people are griping about their job. Why don't you start thanking God you got a job? Amen. Don't gripe about what you've got to eat. Thank God you've got a peanut butter cracker. Amen. And God will bless that. And praise will well up in you. And you'll understand, beloved, that's more than we deserve. Now, in the declaration of his name, you say, Pastor, why should we declare his name? I just want to stop and say something. There's a song that says there's something about that name. Amen. And I want to say this to you, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Before I ever met Jesus, I knew there was something about that name. I'm telling you, before I ever got saved by the grace of God, I was 27 years old, I knew there was something about that name. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the highest star. Amen. Thank God he reached way down for me. And the Bible said, why should we declare his name? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I tell you, a lot of people talk about God. A lot of people talk about the old man upstairs. A lot of people make reference to a lot of things. But I tell you, you can nail her down when you start talking about Jesus. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Amen. He's my Savior. Thank the Lord this morning. The Bible talks about in Philippians. I'm going to turn there. Philippians chapter 2. Turn there with me, would you please? This is worthy of reading this morning. It really nails it down. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name. You say, what's his name? It's a name that's above every name. Glory to God. If you hear my name and you forget it, you've lost nothing. But you hear the name of Jesus and you forget that, you've lost everything and you'll be lost forever. The Bible said, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in things of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I'm telling you, there's not 99 different ways to heaven. This world's saying all the steeples point up and all the religions point to God. But Jesus himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, and beloved, I am the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm glad God speaks in easy terms that a country boy can understand. He's not one of the ways. He's the way. Amen. He's the only way. This is kind of a crazy illustration, I know, but I used to love to watch the show, Let's Make a Deal.
at the end of the show, there was door number one, door number two, and door number three. Everybody had an opportunity to trade in their prize for a chance at the big prize. How many remembers it? Amen. Some of these young uns don't even know what I'm talking about. Amen. And I'll tell you, beloved, I used to watch that, and I always liked to guess. And you know, I wasn't right very much, brother. Amen. They wasn't either. Amen. Every once in a while, somebody get it right. But I'm glad tonight that I knew that I needed to be saved, Brother Chuck. Jesus didn't stand up and say, choose door number one or door number two or door number three. He stood up and said, hey, buddy, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he'll go in and out and find pasture. Thank God Jesus is the door. He's the only way to heaven. Amen. There's the declaration of His glory, the declaration of His righteousness, the declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. There's the declaration of His name. And then there's this. There's the declaration of His works. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Listen to Psalm 73 and verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. Let me say something to you. We got revival coming up. I hope and pray to God we don't wait till revival gets here to draw near to God. We ought to be drawing near to Him now. Say amen. We ought to get ourselves in shape for revival. It's good for me to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all Thy works. You know what we've got in America? We've got a bunch of people running around with their chest stuck out and they want to declare their own works. I'm telling you what, beloved, God ain't in that. Amen. I'm telling you, when the bigger God gets in your life, the littler you'll get. Amen. And we won't be interested in telling somebody what we've done. We'll be interested in telling somebody what He's done. I like the verse the children are learning this month. In the beginning, oh, it wasn't Pastor. It wasn't Daddy. It wasn't Mama. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. And beloved, we can base it all right there. In Psalm 145 and verse number 4, one generation shall praise Thy works to another and shall declare Thy mighty acts. Sister Jennifer, when I read that last night, I thought about the children. And they're over on that side. They're over on this side. Amen. And you know what we're doing? We've got adults that are declaring the children to the children the mighty works of God. They're teaching them, beloved, about a fellow by the name of Jonah. I wrote a little bit about him last week. Y'all like that seaweed wagon? Amen. I might get somebody's, he took a 3-day and 3-night ride in a seaweed wagon, amen, and the prophet made the whale so sick that the whale throwed up, amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, well, I'm glad that we can declare His righteousness, not just to each other, but there's a generation coming up that needs to understand, beloved, the works, the mighty works of God. I tell you what, you won't have anybody over here or over here questioning. Oh, do you really believe that God parted the Red Sea? No, you can tell them little young'uns that, and their eyes will get that big around, and they'll say, oh my goodness, God didn't just part it. Look at there. They're going on dry ground. Them chariots is kicking up dust. Amen. The children of Israel walking across on dry. There's a wall of water on that side, and a wall of water on that side. Oh, there ain't no theologians over there and over there. There ain't nobody trying to explain the miracles away. Say amen. Them young'uns, beloved, believe those Bible stories. Amen. And thank God from one generation to the next. We can keep. I need to stop and say this. I'm going to say it. Here it comes. I'm going to say it. Now listen to me. My daughter, I'm not going to tell the details of the story, but my daughter was witnessing to a man. My daughter Charity. I can tell that detail. Got under a burden. Thank you, Brother Chuck, for being burdened for you, Mommy. We need more burden. People are lost and dying without God. My daughter got under a burden. She called this man. This man's up in years. He's in his 80s. And this man said to Charity, you've been indoctrinated. You know what Charity said? Here's what she come back with. Said, then how do you explain Mom?
She's 16 years old. When I asked her if she feared God, she said, "No, am I supposed to?" She said, "How do you explain, Mom?" In other words, you're saying you believe what you believe because you've been indoctrinated. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. We need to teach the children the Word of God. What they do with it's on them. Say amen. It's my responsibility to come in here and get behind this pulpit and sound forth the Word of God. What you do with it, that's your responsibility. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, there's people making excuses here and excuses there. I just want you to know I'm glad I had a Sunday school teacher at least as tall as you are, Brother Jason, a little bit broader, that stood up there when I was 9 and 10 and 11 years old and taught me the Word of God. Listen, I didn't get saved at that time, but thank God Almighty, He planted a seed in my heart and in my life that I couldn't get away from. Amen. You call it whatever you want to, but we're to declare His works. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. In the book of Philippians, beloved, He said, "He that hath begun a good work in you." Glory to God, He didn't just work on the earth, but one day He worked on me. "He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." I don't know about you, but that encourages me. You know what that means? That means He ain't going to give up on me. Amen. You know what it's going to be when He gets finished? Brother Chuck, I'm going to be just like Him. Now, I think that's a worthy goal. Amen. If you've ever known Jesus, beloved, you ought to want to be like Him. Say amen. Hey, nobody ever loved like Him. Hey, nobody ever walked like Him. Hey, nobody ever talked like Him. But every child of God ought to want to be like Jesus. And then, this is the last thing in the message. Don't get all excited and think you're going to be done in 5 minutes. But anyway, this is the last thing in the message. I like that song, "He's Still Working on Me," don't you? "To make me what I ought to be." Amen. "Ought" might not be a word, but anyway, I like it. Amen. That's a country boy's word for "ought." "That won't be what I ought to be." It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. I love this line. "How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me." Amen. The last thing I wanted, we've looked at the declaration of His glory, the declaration of His righteousness, the declaration of His name, and the declaration of His works, those things which are most surely believed among us. The last thing I want to share with you today is the declaration of His message. I'll give you several things about God's message. Number one, it's a powerful message. The Bible said in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Beloved, listen, a preacher is not to tiptoe through the Bible and hit the high spots, the things that, you know, nobody will have a problem with. He's supposed to preach it all. Say amen. Genesis to Revelation. He's not supposed to skip this or skip that. He's supposed to preach it all. Amen. And I believe that's what God is saying here. There's a declaration of His message. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, how that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day." I said, beloved, it's a powerful message. That's the best news anybody in this world will ever hear, is that Jesus Christ took your place and mine on an old rugged cross. It should have been you hanging there. It should have been me hanging there. But He took my place. And that's the message that needs to be declared. Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." Beloved, that gospel message has power in it. But let me just say this to you. I'm not picking at you, but if you never share your testimony, you never give somebody a gospel tract, you never tell anybody what Jesus has done for you, you know what the real problem is? You really don't believe the message has power in it. Because if we believe the message has power in it, we'll share that message. Amen. Brother Chuck, how many times did you get discouraged witnessing to your mama? Amen.
You know, you walk away and you think, when? Will it ever happen? Will mama ever get saved? But you just keep on. You don't change the message. Glory to God. It's not the message that needs to be changed. It's you and I that needs to be changed. You keep on with the same message. The same message. The gospel message. After a while, beloved, we see God breakthrough. I love that verse. Is not thy word like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Amen. Thank God he kept a chiseling. Amen. Then one day he had a hole chiseled out in my heart and he dropped the stick of gospel dynamite in there. Pow! Amen. And showed me my lost condition and showed me that he'd have mercy on me if I'd just come to him. Amen. It's a powerful message. Then let me give you this. A.B. Simpson, he's reported to have said, the gospel tells rebellious men that sinners are reconciled, that justice is satisfied, that sin has been atoned for, that the judgment of the guilty may be revoked, the condemnation of the sinner canceled, the curse of the law blotted out, the gates of hell closed, the portals of heaven open wide, the power of sin subdued, the guilty conscience healed, the broken heart comforted, the sorrow and misery of the fall undone. Glory to God. That's why that second Adam came, was to undo what that first Adam did. Say amen. In the fall in the garden. I give you this. Not only is it a powerful message, but it's a pure message. I'm not going to spend a lot of time right here, but here's the verse. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, that God is light. Now I want you to listen to this. And in him is no darkness at all. Glory to God. When you're sounding the gospel trumpet, honey, that's the purest message this world's ever heard. Say amen. It's a pure message. And then let me give you this. It's a personal message. I think you'll like this. Listen to what Psalm 66 and verse number 16 said. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare unto you, listen, what he hath done for my soul. I think I know what he's done for your soul, but I know what he's done for my soul. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, it's a personal message. Years ago, I was in Wise, Virginia, pastoring. First church I pastored, and I liked to hunt with this fella. His name was Brother Wayne, and we'd go hunting together. And I went to Brother Wayne's house, and he had a fireplace. And above that fireplace was three. Not one, Brother Michael, not two, but three 10-pound-plus bass mounted above it. Oh, I've got you slobbering now, ain't I? Amen. You and Gary Musselman both, amen. And but Carrie beats them both fishing, say amen. But anyway, amen. But listen, he told me the story. He caught him down in Florida. And he would fish with a shiner. And he said, now, preacher, he said, when that bass hits that shiner, he said, you don't jerk. He said, just give him a little line. He said, just let him swallow it. Right, now, I'm going to tell you something right now. If I had my druthers, that's what I'd do. I've had too many get off. Say amen. Let him swallow it down deep and then, whoa, jerk that pole. You know, I stood there practically yawning, listening to him tell those stories. You know why those stories didn't mean anything to me? I wasn't there. I'd tell Brother Wayne about turkey hunting. He had never been turkey hunting before in his life. I'd tell him about turkey hunting, about getting down between two rocks. So help me, Brother Jason, there was one as close as from me to you. I put 35 pellets in his head, never touched his wattles. Amen. That's how close he was. I'm telling you, I love it. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. Wayne was standing there yawning. You know why? He wasn't there.
That's right.
He wasn't there. You want to know why a lot of God's people never have a story to tell? They ain't been there. They ain't got nothing to tell. All they got's what somebody else said. Amen. If that's you this morning, you're to get born again. You're to have your own story to tell. I'm telling you, it's a powerful message. It's a personal message. Amen. I can't tell you what happened to you, but hallelujah, I can tell you what happened to me. Amen. I'm going to rephrase that. I can't tell you what happened to you, but I can tell you who happened to me. His name is Jesus. He come a-knocking. I opened my heart's door. I said, Lord, you've been out there long enough. Have mercy on me. And he saved me. Amen. Listen to this. The Bible said here, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Have you seen anything? Have you heard anything? Then you got something to declare. That ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I tell you what we need. We need more Christians walking on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know who the waitresses are? The waitresses, who they about dread to see coming? The church crowd on Sunday afternoon. That's the crowd that's rude. That's the crowd, amen. I'm just going to throw this out there free of charge. It won't cost you a dime. If you ain't going to leave a good tip, don't leave one of our tracks. Yeah, you don't have to like it. I said it, amen. I mean it. But if you're going to leave them a good tip, leave them a good track, amen. A gospel track, an invitation. Give them an invitation to the house of God. But I believe with all of my heart, beloved, we need to fellowship with Him day in and day out. I want you to listen to this. It's a personal message. The strongest argument for the gospel of Christ is the personal testimony of someone whose life has been changed by it. I got to stop right there. I'll come back to this story in just a minute. It reminded me of a fellow. He was testifying at a Salvation Army meeting years ago. And he's up there testifying about what God's done in his life. And there's a man standing in the back of the crowd, and he's heckling the man. Shut up, old man. You're crazy. You don't know. You're dreaming. You don't know what you're talking about. And his little boy standing there beside of him. That little boy pulled on his coattail. He said, Mister, he said, that man up there is my daddy. He said he used to beat my mama. He used to come in drunk. I'd have to run and hide. He said, Mister, that man's my daddy. If he's dreaming, please don't wake him up. There had been such a change in his life. He had a personal testimony. Amen. I believe that. The strongest argument for the gospel of Christ, a personal testimony, someone whose life has been changed by the gospel. Charles Bradlaugh, an avowed infidel, he once challenged the Reverend H.P. Hughes to a debate. The preacher, who was the head of a rescue mission in London, England, accepted the challenge with the condition that he could bring with him 100 men and women who would tell what happened to them in their lives since trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. They would be people who once lived in deep sin, some having come from poverty-stricken homes caused by the vices of their parents. Hughes said they would not only tell of their conversion, but would submit to cross-examination by any who doubted their stories. Furthermore, the minister invited his opponent to bring a group of non-believers who could tell how they were helped by their lack of faith. When the appointed day arrived, the preacher came, accompanied by 100 transformed believers, but Bradlaugh never showed up. The result, the meeting turned into a testimony time, and many sinners that had gathered to hear the scheduled debate were saved by the grace of God. The lack of faith ain't never helped nobody. Amen. Thank God it's a personal message. One more thing real quickly. It's a promoted message. The Bible said in Isaiah 21 and verse number 6, For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, set a watchman. Let him declare what he seeth. God has made you and I watchmen. You and I that are saved by the grace of God. You say, Pastor, I don't believe I'm a watchman. You need to read the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3 and chapter 33. You know what God said? He said, if we sound the warning and they don't hear the warning, their blood is on their own head. But God said, Brother Brian, you're shaking your head. You know what He said. He said, if we don't sound the warning, then their blood will be required at our hands. Oh, if we ever get a hold of that, it changes. Amen. We'd want to sound this message out. Amen. We'd want to give out the gospel. Listen to this. I was hoping Brother John would be here this morning. He likes to fix violins, or fiddles is what he calls them. Fritz Kreisler, I think I said his name right, it might be Chrysler.
1875 to 1962, the world-famous violinist, he earned a fortune with his concerts and compositions, but he generously gave most of it away. So when he discovered an exquisite violin on one of his trips, he was able to buy it. Later, having raised enough money to meet the asking price, he returned to the seller, hoping to purchase the beautiful instrument. But to his great dismay, it had been sold to a collector. Chrysler made his way to the new owner's home, and he offered to buy the violin. The collector said it had become his prized possession, and it was not for sale. He would not sell it. Keenly disappointed, Chrysler was about to leave when he had an idea. Could I play the instrument once more before it is consigned to silence? He asked. Permission was granted, and the great overture filled the room with such heart-moving music that the collector's emotions were deeply stirred. Here's what the collector said. I have no right to keep that to myself. It's yours, Mr. Chrysler. Take it into the world and let people hear it. I'm closing with this. Raise your hand if you know Jesus. You have no right to keep it to yourself.
Yes, sir.
Raise your hand again if you know Jesus. You have no right, Brother Dale, Brother Gary, Brother Chuck. We have no right to keep it to ourselves. There's a world out there that needs to hear. And the Bible says speaking the truth in love. They need to hear true words bathed in compassion. And if some have compassion making a difference. I'm not trying to embarrass Chuck, but his mommy told me the other night, said he stood in this living room and just practically preached to me with tears. That ain't going to embarrass the child of God, is it, brother? You have no right to keep it to yourself. I have no right to keep him to myself. That violin made sweet music. The sweetest music that heaven's ever heard is another one was born again. Another one was saved by the grace of God. I don't know how it is in heaven, but the Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons that need no repentance. I've been in hospitals before. They may have quit doing it now. I don't know. I haven't heard it in a while. But I've been in hospitals. You said you were born in St. Mary's, weren't you? Charity and Elizabeth were born at St. Mary's. Had some good times in them birthing rooms. I was in there, Miss Eve. Oh! I said, Miss Eve. She said, what? I said, will you marry me? Good times. That's the second one. Here comes Elizabeth, our last baby. I said, Miss Eve, I want to ask you. She said, why? I said, do you love me? Yes. That nurse said, honey, she loves you right now. You got a mate for life. Amen. Amen. Tell you something, beloved. There's a world out there that needs to hear. That hospital, when a baby was born, there was a chime played. Everybody on the hospital grounds knew that a baby was born. I won't be dogmatic about this, but I wonder if there's not some kind of a chime played in glory when a person is born again, saved by the grace of God. God lets them know. He didn't say the angels were rejoicing. He said there was rejoicing in the presence of the angels. I believe, beloved, listen. Somebody told me last week that they were praying. Oh, I know who it was. It was Brother John praying for his... He said, I might not get to see it. I said, from this side, Brother John. Many prayers, people have to see them answered from the other side. They've done left here, amen, before they see their prayers answered. This morning, God is talking to us about some things that you and I ought to be declaring. Why? Because they are most surely believed among us. These things most surely believed among us. Do you believe these things? The Philippian jailer said to Paul one day, he said, what must I do to be saved? You know why Paul said what he said? He knew it worked. He could remember the Damascus Road. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Paul knew the message worked. Do you believe the message works? If you do, I believe you'll sound the message. Somebody needs to hear the message this week. Let's bow for prayer.